This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Adam Bello, Vice President and Executive Editor at HarperCollins. He's also the editor of a new book entitled New Threats to Freedom, From Banning Ice Cream Trucks in Brooklyn to Abandoning Democracy Around the World, 30 Great Writers on Cultural Trends That Are Undermining Our Liberties. Many famous names that you would recognize in the list of contributors to this, including the likes of Barry Lynn on the left, Glenn Reynolds on the right, and a whole lot of folks in between. And Adam, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you write the foreword to this book, and you talk about how the larger theme here of freedom being wasted or freedom slipping through our fingers takes you back to a graduation speech you heard at Harvard in the 70s from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Explain what he said then that you think really seems to ring true today.
Well, you know, back in the 70s, I was a young fellow. I was still in college, and I had a friend who was graduating from Harvard, and so I went along to hear the graduation speech, and I was not really prepared for what I heard. It turned out that the speech that was delivered that day by Alexander Solzhenitsyn was one of the most profoundly challenging speeches that that I or anyone else present at the that day had ever heard. And Solzhenitsyn had just recently been kicked out of the Soviet Union, received here in the U.S., and this was one of his first public appearances. And much to our surprise, instead of telling us what a great bunch of people we were and how terrific it was to be at home in the land of baseball and apple pie, he told us that that we were in danger of losing our precious heritage of freedom because of our selfishness, our decadence, our softness, our materialism. And he really gave us all a great deal to think about. My conclusion in this, what I write in my introduction is that, 30 years went by, and then as it happened, I was sitting more or less in the same spot at my daughter's graduation from college, listening, instead of listening to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I was listening to Energy Secretary Stephen Chu, telling the graduates that they had to save the planet by keeping their thermostats down. And it just struck me, what a contrast. Here we are 30 years later, even in my generation, there was a tendency for young people to feel that, we don't have to worry about freedom because the grown-ups are in charge of it, somebody else will take care of this problem. And now, 30 years later, it's even harder, I think, for young people to take seriously the idea that freedom is threatened. I mean, we're still a very rich and powerful country. These young people have grown up in a very sheltered environment. Most of the kids who come out of Harvard these days, they don't want to be political leaders and Supreme Court justices and diplomats. They want to write comedy lines. They want to write jokes for Jon Stewart. So I just felt that this was, an important thing to point out as a way of opening up this space for a grown-up discussion of the threat to freedom.
We're talking with Adam Bello. The book is New Threats to Freedom. And Adam, I want to touch on some of the themes that seem to run through these essays in our remaining couple of minutes here. You mentioned how the younger generation seems to think that everything's going to be taken care of, and that's a big problem with a lot of these writers in here, is that the government is taking on that role more and more. It's regulating more, demanding more. You mentioned the speech by Secretary Chu. And then another essay kind of, I think, piggybacks on that, which is the loss of the freedom to fail, probably because when the government's doing so much for you, supposedly, that you don't necessarily have the compulsion to try and do that much on your own.
That's absolutely right. That essay is a wonderful contribution by Michael Goodwin, a columnist for the New York Post and a reformed liberal. Michael is somebody who grew up in the 50s and 60s, the child of hardworking Irish American parents, who taught him that that you have to be responsible for yourself, and if at first you fail, try again. And what he has observed over the decades since his childhood, is that this attitude is almost completely gone from our culture. Instead, we have the fruits of what we call the self-esteem movement, particularly in the education and sports worlds, where now every child who plays on a soccer match has to get a trophy, because even if you're on the losing team, because everybody has to be protected from the harsh realities of failure. And this attitude percolates up from the educational system all the way to the through the business world and to the attitude of the government today that certain companies are too big to fail. Now, this is just not going to be healthy for our economy and our society as a whole, and this is one of the themes that runs through, as you say, runs through the collection, this sense that increasingly people look to the government to guarantee their freedom, and that is simply not the basis on which this country was founded. One of the pervasive themes of the collection has to do with this conflict between what we call negative liberty and positive liberty. Negative liberty is simply put what the founders meant by the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is, to put it simply, the American creed is leave me alone, mind your own business, stay out of my way. You know, if I don't infringe on your liberties, you should not infringe on mine. And everybody has a certain space afforded to them by our political system to make the best of their own lives and their opportunities. But some point in the 20th century, a different attitude emerged, a sense that that the definition of liberty should be the freedom not freedom from interference, but the freedom to fulfill our potential. And this implies a whole series of different attitudes, particularly towards government, that we really need the government to protect us from not just from external threats, but from our own bad choices. So we want the government to ban smoking, to ban trans fats, to make sure that the ice cream truck doesn't jingle its bells too close to the schoolyard, because children will demand too much sugar, this is one of the arguments made by a number of our contributors in different ways, and I found that quite by accident, you know, not by design, because we simply asked people that we respected as writers and thinkers to tell us, you know, what do you think is the most important and pressing threat to freedom today? Again and again, we come up against this problem of people, you know, looking to the federal government to guarantee their health, freedom, security, employment, welfare in different ways. And I don't think I have to tell you, you know, a great example of the limited ability of government to function in this way is the Gulf oil spill, where, you know, you simply cannot, the government is just tripping over its own feet and cannot deal with this very specific, you know, technical problem.
Well, there are so many great essays in this book, Adam, from basically the thought police, what the media expects you to say, what you can and can't do on college campuses, a lot of different ideas in here, and just how it relates to our everyday lives. Congratulations on the book, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Adam Bella, the book is New Threats to Freedom, from banning ice cream trucks in Brooklyn to abandoning democracy around the world. 30 great writers on cultural trends that are undermining our liberties. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.